Well, it's good to be back in the studio today. In a couple of weeks of holidays and time in the woods, and it's been good. I trust you had a great Thanksgiving. Dave's back with us today after 3 weeks of holy deadlock. How's it going? He was telling me earlier some of the things that went on. It's good. Congratulations. Monday will be 24 years for me. December the 5th, 1992. I remember that day. It was cold. I didn't have a traditional bachelor party. What we did was we all went and shot sporting clays up at Riverbend. The groomsmen, my dad, my brother, friends and all. And it was, I mean, the wind had to be blowing 20 miles an hour. It was about 30 degrees. My cousin Hayne, the special forces guy, refused to wear a jacket, you know, to be the tough guy. Of course, that's 24 years ago. He could afford to be a tough guy back then. But, oh, man, that was a cold day. But, yeah, congratulations, David. 24 years, Monday. And she's homesick right now. Wouldn't you know it? Yeah, I got one of my offspring here in the studio.
Y'all.
It's Taylor. Taylor had a good Thanksgiving, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great. I ate a lot. Oh, so good. I love food.
Yeah, but you had some other stuff happen, too. We'll get into that a little bit later on. One of those firsts as a dad that you live for and you want to happen, and after it's done, it's like, oh, it just didn't take long enough. But anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later on. You are listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. I'll be with you next for the next hour on 94.5 WGTK, The Answer, here in Greenville. We're going to, you know, we always do Christmas on Woods and Water, South Carolina. I have some stuff to give away. Some years it's better than others. This year's going to be a pretty good year, I think. We're going to try something different. So I'm going to tell you what you're going to is up for grabs today, and then you're going to have to listen because I'm not going to give you some. I'll give you a heads up maybe, but you're going to listen for this.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas.
Just thought we'd quit laughing.
Stop.
I'm going to cut your mic off.
No, you're not.
I will, too.
I won't let you.
Dave's the one that controls the mics. Anyway, that's what you're going to be listening for. We're going to try this today with one thing, because I'm going to start off slow and build up. But when you hear that today, you need to call 877-235-9405. And you need to be on this one. Let's do 16 years or older. I don't want some kid calling up here and getting a knife their parents don't know about, cutting themselves, and then they come back and blame me. So 16 and up. It's a $100 gift certificate to Plaza Coins and Knives here in Greenville. They carry Boker, Sog, Benchmade, Case, Chris Reeves. They've been a supporter, a sponsor of this show since the very beginning. And it's a $100 gift certificate to go up there and buy one. I'll go two knives up to a total of $100. So, you know, if you choose one that's 40 and one that's 60, you've used it all. If you choose one of those Chris Reeves for 200 and something, you're going to have to come out of your pocket for the rest of it. But that's what you're going to listen for. You're going to listen for the line from A Christmas Story, which I thought was appropriate. You know, it's, I didn't want jingle bells or Merry Christmas, but that, you know, and I really didn't want the teacher, the little screechy teacher. Oh, you'll shoot your eye out. I can't stand that woman. Anyway, so when you hear that, I'll come back in and let you know what you're up for, but Colin, that's what you're 877-235-9405. Well, what's happened since it's been a long time? You know, the rain finally came, the fires. Boy, I tell you, that was something that happened in Gatlinburg. Dave was up there on his honeymoon the week before it came through, I guess. And that was something else. And, you know, Pinnacle Mountain is still smoldering, but the rain helped. It looks like we're going to get more rain tomorrow and Monday, which is good. I think we got about 2 inches last week. I think we're about an inch or so with this coming storm. So that's been good. But it really brought back something. I haven't been on a rain walk this year. Yeah, normally every year, deer season's been in since September 15th. One of the things I've loved to do ever since I was a kid was go walk in the rain. And it just hasn't rained, and it's just been bizarre. I was thinking about, I have not been in the woods when it's been raining yet this year. So I'm thankful for the rain. I tell you, I think it was February 2004 when the Classic was on Lake Hartwell, and Hartwell was down about 10 or 12 feet. That's when I decided I would never complain about a lot of rain, because that was That was unreal. But anyway, they come and go. Don't complain about the rain, because as soon as you do, you won't get any for a month and a half like we just went through. We are going to – I have been in contact with the U.S. Forest Service and the South Carolina Forest Commission. When they – I'd like for it after it's out. But, you know, I think they got it like 80% contained right now. We're going to catch up with them and kind of get the whole story. I mean, some people are talking, oh, the trees are burned up and on. And I just want to kind of run through the whole fire and – yeah, it's over 10,000 acres that's burned, and it's really been a struggle. But we're going to catch up with them. We had a guest planned for today, Dan Dupree with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. He is in bed with the flu. Talked to him yesterday. It's stuff creeps up on you and just nabs you. So we're going to catch up with him next week. If he's back on his feet, we'll do that again. Taylor was always going to be on here because of something happened over the holidays. And let's see. I guess Clemson wore out South Carolina.
Yay. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of hearing the 56-6 minute deal or whatever. Just let it go, guys. you can crow when it's five in a row, like South Carolina did. It was brutal around my house for a few days after CSU lost to Wofford by a point, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Is that a point?
Yeah, I think it was a point, and they threw an interception with so many seconds left or something. It was, but anyway, CSU's got a pretty good football team, has had for a couple of years, and of course that's where my daughter goes. And speaking of that, I'm going to have a 20-year-old here in another week and a half. Mm-mm. And then you're going to be a teenager in like 3 months. Really starting to feel old. I might start sounding it one of these days too. Keeps up like this. Real quick, I just got a couple of things to catch up. I guess kind of a calendar. Striped bass. I cut it off. Next weekend in Anderson at Green Pond Landing and then at the Anderson Convention Center and the pond there, the Striped Bass Challenge, and we talked to Mike Dillon, the head of a competition at Richard Childress Racing a few weeks ago about this event. You know, the fishing is going to take place on Saturday, but it's a 2-day event, the 9th through the 10th. They got, you know, $20,000 first prize. They can have kids' prize tournament winnings, women's tournament winnings. So it's a great thing. But on Friday, December the 9th, at the Civic Center of Anderson, they're going to have an expo. Opens at 11 o'clock and goes to 3 o'clock. Lots of stuff. It's free. They want you to bring some food because all the food they collect will go to the Golden Harvest Food Bank. And Mike was saying that some of those guys that are fishing in it will come in, their boat will be full of food. So that's something that you can do. DNR will be there. There'll be displays, product for sale, simulators, demonstrations, kids. Then on Saturday, at the Chris, I forget the name of the park, Chris something park, which is the lake they have there, there's going to be a fishing tournament for the kids. So that's something you need to check out. And then there's some other stuff going. Hey, you know, I know it's most guys at deer hunt want to be out there in the woods this time of the year, and that's fine, and I'm right along with you. But, you know, when the kids want to go see the Christmas lights and all, you know, take a night off from the tree stand, go see the Christmas lights. I like to go where there's, you know, animals. I know they're having something big at the Pick and Speedway, I think, with an animal petting farm. You know, you got Roper Mountain's got some animals up here. The best one is Hollywild. Just beware of the 2,000-pound cow that will stick his head in the driver's side window in your lap. So... I know we've rambled a little bit. We're going to get into some serious stuff here in just the next segment or so. So hang on. Be back on the other side with more Woods and Water South Carolina.
Don't you cry no more.
Well, Woods and Water, South Carolina, bringing you a little Kansas and Carry On Our Wayward Son. Yes, I grew up in the backseat of my brother's car. I listen to his music. He's 6.5 years older than I am, so I'm 6.5 years later in my musical tastes, which I like. I don't mind it at all. 90s, nah, I forget that stuff. 90s on forward, I could care less. I do have two daughters that love country music, so I do listen to some of that. But for the most part, I'm a 70s and 80s. In fact, I'm just going on here. Over Thanksgiving, it was good. My brother and I took a couple of days, went to the farm deer hunting, watched True Grit, and then he plugged in the Eagles live in Melbourne, Australia, and we watched like 2 hours of the Eagles. Just great. And oh, by the way, Don Henley says the Eagles won't tour anymore. His exact quote was something to the effect that, you know, he couldn't imagine going back on the road without one of the founding members, Don Henley. So, but man, it was, yeah, that's where I am in music. So, all right. And this is what happens when you have scheduled guests and things you want to get to. You can't get to things that are kind of fun and all. And this is about the elk, because I've had a lot of people text me, talk to me, Facebook message me. Hey, do we have an elk herd? We're going to have an elk season. You know, we have seen one elk, so just slow down a little bit. It is kind of neat. On the other hand, people, this elk is not a pet. And if you saw any of the video, there were people over there petting this elk, which tells me two things. The elk's really not wild. You know, having spent a lot of time in Colorado and other areas out west and seen them wild and you know, what happens when they see you, elk can go up hillsides that you and I have to be on all fours to get up. It's incredible what those animals can do. He's not wild. And number two, we're going to have Yellowstone stories in Pickens County where people get run over by elk because they think they're little pets. They're not. They're wild animals. And even though they don't appear it, they can turn on a dime. And if you haven't, there's a video of a guy jogging with a dog around this lake, and there's an elk in the water, and the elk decides to go jogging with the guy and his dog. I don't know what he's trying to, you know, it's pretty funny. The elk just didn't want to jog by itself and saw the guy and his dog, said, I'll just run with him. Anyway, yes, elk, first sighting in 300 years in South Carolina, and that's pretty cool. But it plays to a bigger conservation effort, and a lot of people don't know the background behind that, so I'm going to take you through a little bit of it today. But yeah, northern Pickens County, and that's not the end of it. The sighting is not the end of it. It gets better, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But it's a historic moment. You know, this elk used to be in South Carolina, disappeared in the early 1700s. The whole time it was here, DNR was monitoring it. It wasn't too hard to keep up with the elk. Everybody was taking pictures of it. It was in backyards. It was having face-offs with dogs and whatever. just funny. One guy, Caleb Castle, said he came across the elk as it was walking down the middle of East Atoy Creek Road. So this was a young bull, you know, and just like in... Well, if you're not outdoors, you don't know how things happen. What happens is in elk society, you have a herd bull. That's usually your biggest or your toughest bull, and he is, you know, eliminated the competition to the fact they cowed down and walked away from him, whatever. But he's got his harem of cows and all, and you got these young bulls, and they spend during the rut, they spend their whole time trying to carve out a cow from the bull's harem. So they have fights, and that's why bull elk lose hundreds of pounds defending their harem for breeding rights. So this guy has obviously been kicked out of his little clan up there in Catalucha Valley and decided he was going to go on a walkabout and find him a cow, thinking there was more around than what he was finding in North Carolina. It wasn't. But they... the first official sighting was at Camp McCall. It was seen at Sunset Post Office on State 11, Nine Times Community in northern Pickens County. It was at the reserve at Lake Kiwi Golf Course, and it was on State 133 in Sunset. It is illegal to shoot an elk in South Carolina, even though we don't have any native here. Dennis Chastain and those I assume about the time they were restocking elk in North Carolina, got to legislature and said, look, we don't need any mistakes here. So it is illegal. But I want to talk to, and conservation is a big part of this show. You know, hunters, fishermen, hikers, we're all conservation is at heart. Most of us, even though we approach it differently, are environmentally aware. I don't take it to the extreme. A lot of people do, but I don't want to see all the forest mowed down, and I want to see clean water. And I just approach it a little bit differently from a hunting as a heritage viewpoint, I guess. But elk were restocked in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, kind of like, well, not to, because whitetails were always in South Carolina, but kind of like whitetails were stocked back into Sumter National Forest. If you were in South Carolina in the late 60s and early 70s, you were here when it was happening, but there were deer along the Lowcountry and a few pockets up towards the Midlands, but we didn't have deer here in the upstate. Until the early to mid 70s before we started seeing them as close to Sumter National Forest as Chester, which is not but about, what, 20, 25, 30 miles. Conservation efforts that brought us the whitetail brought us the wild turkeys. You know, we traded Illinois. Well, actually, we got our wild turkeys came from out west, and then we got geese. We traded wild turkeys to Illinois for geese. And wood ducks, another conservation effort that is just tremendously successful, because you had people who came up with a cypress box that mimicked a hole in the tree where wood ducks normally nest and raise their broods and all. And people ponied up, bought these boxes. They proliferated across South Carolina and North Carolina. And you have a huge population of wood ducks now. So it's kind of the same deal. We're running through this right quick. That's just a bunch of that. Okay. There was one time 10 million elk roaming North America. Overhunting, encroachment, you know, South Carolina, 1700s. Tennessee was about 1750 or so. But here's the conservation story, thanks to the Rocky Mountain Elk Federation. Between 2001 and 2002, a total of 52 elk were released in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. They were brought into Cataloochee Valley from the land between the lakes in Kentucky. They brought them in, tagged them all. Most stuck around Cataloochee. The elk brought into the Great Smoky Mountains National Park for the second release were from Elk Island in Manitoba, Canada. This program lasted well into 2008. We've got elk from Utah, I believe, from Colorado. Somewhere around 1,700 or 1,800 of them were brought in altogether. They wanted to bring in 2,000, but the herd multiplied so quickly and things were going so well, they didn't have to stock as many. Just a little background. Elk can live about 15 years. It's a browser grazer. It'll eat acorns, leaves, buds, you know, whatever. And that's one of the fears by a lot of farmers, that if we do get an elk herd, that there's going to be, and there has been some damage in North Carolina, and that's where you run into the human conflict we always have in conservation efforts. Most of the elk up in Cataloochee and all are really not wild. I mean, they're such a draw to see. Everyone wants to see them, because otherwise you've got to go out west. Or actually, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and those areas have big elk herds now, too. In fact, they've got hunting seasons there. North Carolina has said they are open to a hunting season, but as of now, they don't have any plans for one. And so it's a, you know, to have that in North Carolina and then to see it in South Carolina is pretty cool. But as always, be careful, especially in the fall when the rut's going on. And that's where you see a lot of what happens out in Yellowstone, with people getting mowed down by, you know, 1,800-pound animals trying to take a selfie, because he's in a mood to fight, and he doesn't care if you look like a human or another elk. If you're close enough, you're going to be an object of his wrath. So that's kind of, you know, yeah, 300 years for an elk in South Carolina, thanks to the Rocky Mountain Elk Federation and, you know, Canada, the places that these elk came from, the National Park Service for being open to do this. We have, just to the north of us, a pretty big elk herd. And you can see them. You go to Cataloochee, I understand the road that runs the creek, those fields that you can go up there and park, and in the mornings and evenings as the elk are out there. They do cross the mountains now, and I understand they hang out a lot in Cherokee. Actually, at the football field, I've heard, is one of their favorite hangouts in Cherokee, North Carolina. I mean, it's flat, it's grassy. It's probably, and I have seen them. There is a video of them walking down one of the creeks right there in town. So it's neat to have them back. They're not exactly what you would call your Western elk, but it is cool to have them here. But the story doesn't end there. You know, he made it down into Pickens County, and they were watching him. Well, they caught him. They decided it was enough, you know, enough. They needed to get back. So on November 17th, they tranquilized him, moved him back into Haywood County. And their hope was that, you know, originally that no elk, cow elk here, he'd go back. They sawed his antlers off just so he wouldn't be a threat to humans and all. Well, he's back. November the 21st, the infamous upstate elk seen grazing around the upstate was recently transported to a more remote place to roam, and Monday he came back. He likes it here, and I don't mind him being here. You know, he does not have a tracking device. Do not shoot him. Don't go pet him. But he kind of likes it down here. I kind of like a kid that'll, you know, take a little initiative and try to go make his own home somewhere else. And I just hope he doesn't get into trouble, or somebody doesn't get him into trouble. And there are no plans at the moment to try to relocate him. I kind of hope he stays. Deer hunters, do not mistake an 800-pound elk for a 200-pound whitetail. So, anyway, all right. Hang on. Taylor had, we had a good holiday season. Taylor's, I'll let her tell her story, but hang on through the break. Be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. Woods and Water, South Carolina. If you're listening right now, then
you'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas.
$100 gift certificate to Plaza Coins and Knives for up, you know, combination of one or maybe two knives, but it's good for $100. 877-235-9405. Be an adult. Don't be a, I don't want a 10-year-old kid winning this. So, and call in now. You can get that. And Merry Christmas. Thanksgiving. Well, actually the week before, we actually took the weekend off to go up to Lake Wylie because Riley's Catch was having their annual bass tournament and all that. Well, you know how the water's been down. They actually closed all but one ramp on Lake Wylie the afternoon or like Thursday that week. So we didn't get to, I was going to fish the pros and Joe's tournament on Sunday and missed out fishing that with Geddes Brandon. And, but anyway, I took Taylor with me. We had a good time that night.
Oh, it was so fun. I really loved it.
The guys, closer to the mic. they had brought in two guys from, where are they from? From like Illinois or something like that, Minnesota. They're big YouTube stars or whatever.
Yeah,
they dropped out of college and YouTube stars on fishing or whatever.
But hey, they're good.
We had a good time. Britt Myers was there. I got a chance to talk to him a little bit more. In fact, before I forget about it, the Southeastern High School Bass class registration is still open through December the 16th, I think. That's the 2-day event we're having in Anderson, South Carolina for high school bass anglers, coaches, boat captains. You can go to the Palmetto Boat Center website, look under their tournaments, or you can go to Visit Anderson or the Woods and Water South Carolina Facebook page. It's all over there. I didn't want to forget to plug that. Looking for a good time there. But Britt Myers was there and talked to him a little bit. Rod Goodall talked to him. Met some former college anglers out of North Carolina. And had a really good time there that night. That's good barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
You enjoyed it?
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was good. But you've been going deer hunting with me for about 6 years now.
Oh, yeah.
I think six or seven years. I can't remember how long it's been. What have you learned, or what do you think I've been trying to teach you in the last 6 or 7 years?
Oh, a lot of things. To mostly respect nature and to just enjoy it. It's not about what you kill when you're hunting. It's the memories you make, and the memories you'll keep forever.
Safety, too.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget safety. Muzzle direction and all that. But anyway, this year, Taylor decided she wanted to shoot her first deer. So we've gone now like 5 or 6 times. We've done kind of evening, morning things in tandem. I was real proud of her. The first time we went out, she kind of set the rules. You know, I'm not going to shoot a doe that's got yearlings with it. And she's gone enough to know exactly what that looks like. It's not like she had to guess. This year she decided. So we shot the rifle some. Got her comfortable with that. I was afraid that would be the biggest part of it. But, you know, I've got a nice rifle that's, you know, short action, pretty good caliber, and a good rifle and a good combo. I was telling her, you know, the first deer I killed with a single gauge 20 gauge with a slug, which probably, I don't know, cost $45 for Sears. And she was using something getting close to the $2,000 range. But that's okay because it makes it easier. From a beginner standpoint. Oh, and by the way, if you listened over Thanksgiving, wasn't that a good show I had with Mom? We had a ball doing that. She had a ball doing it, and we talked about that very same thing, about me shooting my first deer at my granddaddy's place. But anyway, so we've been doing this, and she had an opportunity to shoot a doe, but it had a couple of little ones with her, and she pulled it down, and she goes, and we had stalked up to these deer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was fun. My back hurts so bad.
Yeah, that's because you were bent over trying to look like something other than humans. But it's been a process over the last few years. I've had to get to a place where I'm comfortable with her. I trust her decision making because, you know, once you give her the gun and she's in control, then you have to be willing to live by whatever happens after that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure she understands it's not about always shooting something. It's about going and learning how not to be busted by a squirrel, which you have been for a few years, though. You were a regular Mexican jumping bean, and that's probably why I never killed many deer with you were with me, because, you know, the squirrels just, they had you pegged.
Mm-hmm. They're the worst.
But it was a learning experience. Can fool the best squirrel now.
Mm-hmm.
And you have. Teaching her, it's about the sunrise, you know. Watching that sun come, watching the woods wake up or go to sleep at night, all the other things, it's about going out into a place where not a lot of people have the opportunity. Access is the toughest part in hunting. Mm-hmm. And you've been really blessed, and you need to thank your grandparents that you have a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would be a member of a club or something, but we have a place to go where it's ours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real treat and a privilege in today's world. And those are some of the things I tried to teach her. And this year decided she was ready to try it. So I'll let you tell your story. I'll chime in as needed. But it all comes down to Taylor got her first deer.
So I got my doe tags about a month ago.
Yeah, we were going to be legal. Under 16, you don't have to have a license. But if you're going to take a youth hunting, bucks, you don't have to have anything, but you do have to have doe tags if they're going to shoot a doe. So,
I'm
waiting on my $13, by the way.
Can I pay that with kisses? Can I just kiss you?
No. $13. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'll never forget when I got in the mail. I was so happy and so ready to grab that rifle and go hunting. But I guess we went about 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And that was when we went.
It was 2 weeks ago this morning.
We went to the Riley's Catch thing the night before. We went hunting, I guess, about...
We sat out for about 45 minutes. Yeah. We got to Chester very, very late.
And so we decided we were going to go sit out there and hang out for a little while. And the woods were really quiet. There were birds, and we were just having a good time. And so then we had to go to the Riley's Catch dinner, which I enjoyed. And then we got back, and we just kind of hung out and watched TV, and
And that's what a lot of our hunting has been, is just hanging out.
Yeah. I couldn't ask for anything more. I love hanging out with you.
We have a good time. We do.
So you got up about 5:45 the next morning. And, yeah. But you said it's good to see the woods wake up.
And yes, it is.
So we got up, and Daddy came over and told me, he was like, so we can either go sit in the two-man stand on the end of the field, or we can sit out in the deck. And he said, I have a little bit of a headache, but we'll do either one. I said, well, let's just go sit on the deck. We'll just warm up with some blankets and everything. So we went out on the deck, and we got there for about 30 minutes.
About 20 minutes.
20 minutes. And we got out there. It was just starting to get light, and we were just having a good time out there. And then I was just kind of whispering to him, and Dad's like, okay, Taylor, get the gun up. And I'm like, what? And I'm looking straight down the pasture. And all of a sudden, it comes out into a clear, and it's this deer. And all I see are the huge ears.
He did have some mule ears. I don't know whether his head was kind of small or his ears were kind of big, but he had some ears on him. But normally the deer we see are, you know, 100 yards into the field, mm-hmm. down near the top of the dove field where the food plots mm-hmm. are. And this little guy almost walked through the yard and popped out about 30 to 40 yards away from us. And she was looking way past him and kind of reversed to 3 years ago when we killed that 9-point.
Oh, yeah, that came out.
Yeah, I was looking way down the pasture, and the doe Taylor was seeing was right there in front of the house. So, anyway, go ahead.
I kind of got the gun up to my shoulder and trying to find it through the scope, and it got into some thick stuff, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I just blew this. I can't find this deer in the scope. Well, it came out on this clearing and about into the woods, and it just stopped broadside to me. And I was like, okay. So I got it in the scope, and but where I needed to shoot it was just a little tuft of tall grass is right in front of it. And I was like, oh, you gotta be joking me. So I put it up to where my gut was saying it was. And I put it up and I aimed for a little bit, and Dad was like,
stop.
What?
What did I tell you?
You told me, do you have it in the scope?
Yep.
I mean, he was following it through his binoculars along with me, and he said he was more nervous than I was.
Go ahead. I don't know. I'll tell you this. From the time that deer came out, and she's sitting right next to me, and she's got the gun up on the rail, and I'm following the deer with the binoculars, her breathing never changed. I mean, you know, you hear classic cases of buck fever. In fact, I was poster child for buck fever, and I still get buck fever to this day. But, you know, I killed my first deer. I started sweating, hyperventilating. I mean, it was just, and to some extent today, I mean, I don't hyperventilate, but I still get real excited and flushed and all, and her it never changed. Go ahead.
Well, so he's like, okay, you got it in the sight picture? And I was like, yes. And he's like, shoot it now. And so I said, oh, please let this be a good shot. And I pulled the trigger, and I felt like I was just in like a daze. I didn't hear it run off. I was like, oh my goodness, I just shot at a deer. And so after that, Dad kind of looked through his binoculars and said, okay, I heard it drop, so we just got to go find it now. And like all this time, it's going through my head, are you sure you shot that deer? Are you sure? Because we got out of the deck, and we went, started going down the hill, and went to the spot where I shot it, and no blood, no nothing. I was like, okay, did I shoot the tree instead of this deer? I was doubting myself. So we walked through the woods and walked along the path.
We looked for it for about 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was over an hour before we found it.
Yeah, but we looked hard for 45 minutes, just very carefully, probably retraced our steps twice. Very slowly. And I was thinking, following it with binoculars is a little deceptive on the range. And I was thinking 120 yards or whatever. Well, I got on Google Earth the other day, and it's between 160 and 170 yards, which, you know, in retrospect, if I'd have been sitting in a tree stand, I probably would have said that's too far off. But it was just in the moment and all, and she made a great shot. But anyway, we looked for at least 45 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, when the leaves start falling, they're all red and everything. And, I mean, they look pretty when you are just walking through the woods. And you're like, oh, I love the colors. But when you're trying to find a deer and you're looking for a blood trail, those are the worst things. I mean, seriously, the ones that look like they have a little drop of blood on them. Oh, it was crazy. So we decided we were going to call our neighbor, who has some dogs, and Dad called him, and he was like, "Do you think you're one of your dogs could pick up a scent of a deer?" And he was like, "I don't think so, but I'll hop on my gator and I'll go try and help y'all look." So we looked everywhere, and we didn't look in this little spot of junk. I mean, it was briars and everything. Dad's like, "I bet your deer dropped right in there." And I'm like, "I'm not going in there." He's like, "Okay, I'll go in." So I was waiting on the path, waiting for our neighbor to get there, and he walked in about 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh, it wasn't that long. I walked in about 10 yards. The trail took a little dogleg to the right, and there's a big tree laying across the trail, and about the time I tried to step over the tree, the deer was laying on the other side.
I guess it felt like eternity. But so he was like, "Oh, we got ourselves a deer." And at that time, I was like, "Oh, my goodness. Seriously?" And sure enough, I went and crossed over the path and into that thick stuff, and I got around this tree, and I saw a white belly, and I was like, "Oh, my goodness. Yay." I was so happy. And got in there, and I thought it was a doe. Well, when I got in there, it was a nice bike. I was ecstatic. Oh, my goodness.
She was. She kind of stood there like she didn't exactly know what to do with it now.
No, I did. I was just sitting there looking at it. She was. I was like, "Oh, my goodness, I just killed this thing."
Yep.
But it was so cool. But Dad was like, "Okay, you better watch out for me, because this is when most people have a heart attack trying to drag a deer out of these woods." So we brought it out on the other side on our neighbor's property, and we went to go get the truck and pulled it around and loaded it up. But, I mean, that was, like, one of the best days of my life. I started calling everybody and texting everybody. But I didn't realize it was, like, 6:30.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, "Why are you calling me at this time?
7:30 in the morning, and Jordan Taylor's lighting everybody's phone up. Just a really cool experience. I mean, Jordan has never killed a deer. She hunted with me, but it was never one of her objectives in life. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we went deer hunting together the other day. I mean, she didn't want to shoot. She just likes to go spend time in the woods. And that's what I've tried to instill in both my girls, that it's an appreciation for just being able to be out there and not necessarily that you've got to. And we've passed up deer before.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of deer.
Oh, yeah.
And really, it's kind of fun. It's the old, I can see you, but you don't know I'm here,
mm-hmm.
which That's is really cool. fun. And which is part of the Leave No Trace. And there's a movement out there called Leave No Trace. It's when you go in the woods, whether you're going hiking, camping, hunting, or whatever, you don't take anything in that you don't bring out. Mm-hmm. And the only way anybody knows you've been there is because your boot tracks are there or something. And that's what I've tried to teach the girls. And like I said, this is one of those kind of firsts that it was a lot of build up, and after it was over, it was a lot of relief and a little bit of sadness because, you know, now she's a deer hunter. And I started thinking, okay, now I've got to buy another rifle, another scope.
Oh, yeah.
Ladder mm-hmm. stand of her own, safety harness, another set of camouflage clothes. You know, the your mother doesn't really impact her what happened.
All she knows is I got venison. I'm going to cook some chili.
That's right. Yeah. and that is true. We what we shoot around my house, we eat. And that was one of the first things Taylor said after it was all over, "Daddy, we've got venison for the freezer now." And that's the way it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
At least in my mind. So anyway, we'll wrap up. There's a few more things I want to say, but let's take a break. I know we're a little bit over. Let's go to a break, come back, we'll wrap this up, finish up the show for another week. Hang on. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Congratulations, Jay. I'll be getting in touch with you, get that gift certificate to you, and you can go over there and pick out a knife or two. kind of wrap up, and I appreciate you. Of course, you don't have any choice. It's my show, and you can turn the radio off or not. But anyway, first like this, and I hesitated because you never know. You know, you're 12, and you're very mature, and you know how to handle this radio show. But you just never know what you're going to get with a kid. And I kind of wanted her to give her perspective on it. Because as a parent, sometimes it's hard to know how they look at things. And my biggest fear was that she wouldn't like hunting, you know, or that I would mess up. I mean, I made mistakes with my older one. One of the best examples, piece of advice that I can give you, if you're a parent in any outdoor venture, whether it's, you know, going hiking, going fishing, going hunting, camping, when the kid says, "I'm done," then you're done. Don't make them stay out there, because then it's not fun for them anymore. Then it's mom or dad making me do something that I don't want to do anymore. And I made that mistake with Jordan, and I don't think that's the reason she doesn't hunt like Taylor wants to hunt. But don't be afraid. You know, don't be afraid to take a chance. You never know what your kids will like. There again, you know, mom, when she was here, we talked about growing up when I was a kid. You know, I was 12, 13 years old. I had blue jeans and the waffle style long johns that were slightly better than wearing nothing long johns, period. You know those old things, if you're old as I am, you remember what they were like. Nothing like the Under Armour base layers we got now. And we'd get up and leave at 4, 4.30 in the morning and drive to Chester for me to hunt for 35 minutes and get too cold and come back in the house. But it's just those things you have to do as a parent. And I want to encourage you, if there are programs around, the Take One, Make One program will help you. National Wild Turkey Federation has got a mentor program. I mean, there are, if you don't have a place to go, you have a kid who wants to get involved in the outdoors and hunting, there are resources for you out there. And, you know, you could have the same experience. You know, it was, in retrospect, you know, I was amazed at how calm she was. I was amazed at the shot. I remember, Taylor, you got it? I got it. Shoot it. I remember the safety going off. And that's it. But I was concentrating on the deer because I knew as soon as she pulled the trigger, she was going to lose the sight picture and be up to me to kind of spot the deer. And yeah, it was just kind of a high shot. It was a great shot. I mean, it probably deer at most ran about 45 or 50 yards. And that's what you want. You want a good shot, a good recovery. Unlike me, yesterday morning, took a pot shot at a coyote at 200 yards. And thinking back over it, I could have really steadied that shot up a little more and not rushed it so much, but I missed. It was a nice coyote. It looked good laying on the ground in front of me, too. Because not 15 minutes earlier, I'd seen a doe and two of her yearlings in the same spot. So, but yeah, we have another hunter. And from our aspect, now I can turn the rifle over to her. I can pull my bow out and bow hunt all year long, which is what I plan to do from now on. Because it's not about, and to me, deer hunting is not about shooting something every time I go out. It's about getting out there, enjoying being outdoors. Spending time with my kids, spending time with friends, spending time with my brother. It's about everything that goes into it. You know, walking out of the woods with something is a bonus, and more than enough times I could probably go in without something, without a gun or bow, and come out just as happy and just as – and that's the way I want you the rest of your life. That's the way you need to look at it. It's not about me. It's not about how big an animal I shoot. It's not about – it's about – you being able to insert yourself into nature and being out there and coming back out, and the only thing you leave is your footprints. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And we will enjoy the summer sausage and the hamburger and the tenderloins this year.
The summer sausage is mine.
See, this is what we're going to have now. It's my deer. And we're going to have to go in and label T on all the packages. So it's Taylor's. Taylor, you have to eat out of this package. congratulations to the team of Cole Hyder and Joel Saunders from out here. It's either Blue Ridge or Greer. I know Joel. They competed in the Toyota Bonus Bucks Bassmaster Team Championship on Kentucky Lake this past Wednesday and Thursday, I believe. And they finished up 21st, which is a good showing. Congratulations to them. I'll, he'll probably be on. I talked to him about coming on the show just to talk about, you know, everybody looks at the FLW and the BASS and all that, but there's a whole lot of tournaments down below that for practically anybody to fish in. And he and his partner were good enough to make it to the championship, so congratulations to them. I had some other stuff in here I was going to get to, but, you know, as always, you always come in here with more than enough stuff, and you always leave with more than enough stuff. Wow, kind of lost words. That was a good story. Thank you, Taylor.
Oh, you're welcome.
There've been a lot of Westerns on. In 1950, and this is the 150th anniversary of Winchester. In 1950, the Western movie Winchester 73 is released. Great movie, starring Jimmy Stewart. Winchester's wizard marksman, Herb Parson, filled in for Stewart during the film's trick shooting screens. Did not know that. Pretty cool little thing. Wow, where are we? I got a minute to go. Not enough time to get to anything, but oh well. Okay, you got the expo, the fall brawl coming up. A couple of things. You've got Seaweed coming up in February in Charleston. Time to get that on your calendar. The Palmetto Sportsman's Classic is in March at the Columbia Fairgrounds. The FLW Cup is coming to Lake Murray, Columbia, in August. Another thing you need to put on your calendar for next year. I hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed being back. Make time to get out there. I mean, really. Find some back roads to take when you go. Be safe when you're out there. And don't forget your camera. See you guys next week on More Woods and Water, South Carolina.